Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today. Amen. Before I get going, I do have a message to my brothers in India and my sisters in India. The Lord is with you. I know the virus is bad, and so those that are listening, push into the Lord, and you need to be standing. Amen. Because after this is over, there's going to be a need for believers to rebuild. So take care of yourself, Julian, and just be standing. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us. And we will go ahead and be looking at biblical elements for daily living, number 5. But as our custom, what we do, we like to kind of get our spirit moving in the direction that we want it to be by kind of looking at what we looked at last time, and that there should be that flow that will get us in there. So last month we looked at values of weakness and failure. Hey, man, what a great topic. Weaknesses and failures. Well, I would tell you, every human will experience weaknesses and failures at some degree in our life. Amen? I will tell you, too, I have experienced many weaknesses and many failures in my life. But I believe the Lord has allowed those weaknesses and those failures to make me a better husband, a better man, a better, you know, believer, a better teacher. And it wasn't the victories and all of the wonderful things that we always think about. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and look at a couple of points that we looked at last month, and then we'll move into what the Lord has for us today. Amen? Like I said, every human will experience weaknesses and failures at some degree in their life. So do we learn from our failures, or do we allow our failure to destroy us? That is up to us. Do we learn from those areas, those failures in our life, or do we learn from them? And that's what God's plan. God wants us to learn from our failures and our weaknesses and our infirmities and all of those things that we would call bad. Well, God wouldn't call those bad. He would say those are opportunities for us to learn and grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Remember, this is another point from last month. Remember, salvation is an event where our Christian daily living is a long process of learning, dotted with many potholes of failure. Wow. Salvation is the event. We give our heart to the Lord. But then our daily living, our daily Christian living is a long process, all of our life on earth, of learning, and it's dotted with many potholes of failures. Amen? Yeah. Another point we looked at was weakness precedes failures. Let me say that again. Weakness always precedes failures. And that is, there is two edges of that sword. When we are weak, then he is strong. But when we fail, there is always a weakness that causes that failure. Now, that weakness is not always a bad thing. That weakness is a good thing, and we will look at that in a little minute. Amen? Now, the point is, it is always frightening to find ourselves in a situation, greater than our strength, and in which we have no control. It's frightening. When we say we don't have the strength, we don't have the ability to do that, and we're not in control. It is a frightening thing. And I will tell you, if you walk with the Lord long enough, He will see to it. He will see, and He will bring you to these places. He will bring you to that place to where you have no strength. That's where the Father took Jesus. Can you believe Jesus said He has no ability? He has no strength? He can't do it? But He created the earth and the world. He said He has no power. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, I have no power except for what the Father gives me. Wow. Today in the church we're running around, I got the power, you got the power, I got the power, brother, how about you? Jesus says, I have no power. I think Jesus learned something about dependency. The more we can be dependent upon the Father, like Jesus, the more that we can do. Amen? Another point we looked at last month was, no matter what we do for the Lord, we are either heading to or leaving a situation where God can show us our heart and how much we need Him. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, we're either going to or or coming back from a situation where God can show us our heart. Wow. Have you ever looked at your heart? You ever thought about your heart? Jeremiah tells us it's deceitfully wicked. Wow. Wow. So these situations that we go through in life, God will take these situations and then we'll be able to see our heart. And when we see our heart, we'll see how much we really need Him. Amen. Point number 7, God allows our sifting, like Peter. Last week we looked at Luke 22:31-33, when Jesus said that Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now I hope Jesus really didn't pray for Peter, like we pray for somebody, because you know what? At that time, Peter's faith did fail, because he denied Jesus 3 times. But it never failed totally. Because Matthew 16 tells us that Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. And so his faith really, really didn't fail, but at that time, maybe he lost the battle, but he won the war in the end. Amen. But God allows our sifting, like with Peter, to produce a sense of need for his unfailing strength, and to build a desire in us for a deeper place in Him. Wow, boy. Okay, that is a mouthful right there. Boy, God will allow these sifting, these problems in our life to produce a sense of need for Him and His unfailing strength and build a desire in us for a deeper place in Him. And the last point we looked at is our self-sufficiency only stands in God's way. Our self-strength, our know-it-all attitudes, our unteachable. You know, one of the greatest, I've been in 87 countries of the world, and I've never been to South Africa and Zimbabwe, but I'll be going there soon. But I think, I know, one of the greatest things lacking in the body of Christ today is a teachable spirit. There's a lot of people that think they know it all, and they're unteachable. And I don't know it all. But a lot of people think they do, and that's a self-sufficiency, and that stands in the way of God. It is our dependency in God's opportunity to use us the more. The more that we are dependent on God, the more that we say we can't do it, and we don't have the power and all of these things, the more we say that, then we're going to be dependent more on the Father. Amen? So that was some points that we looked at last month, and now we're going to go ahead and look at biblical elements for daily living. This will be number 5. And the text we're going to start off, and I really like this verse here, it's found in 1 John 4:19. It's a little short verse, but it's a very, very powerful verse. I would say this little verse right here is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Because if we don't get this verse right, if we don't get this right, then our salvation probably won't be laid right. And we'll never really be able to do those things that God wants us to do. So 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Boy, I like that. He first loved us. You know, the word love is used 280 times in the Bible. 280 times. Wow. Boy, I like that word love. Amen. So the topic we'll be looking at today will be, He loved us first. Why do we love Jesus? Jesus' closest friend on earth, the disciple named John, identified in the Gospels as the one who loves Jesus. And that was John 13:23. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples who loved Jesus, or whom Jesus loved. You know, I really like the disciple John, but you know, he was so much different than all of the other disciples. Did you know in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Gospel of John that the word prayer does not appear? The word prayer does not appear in the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. But there seems to be, in John's life, there seems to be a prayer coming out of John's life. And maybe that's why it says here that Jesus loved John. Jesus loved John. I think Jesus loved all of the disciples, but I think there was something a little more that Jesus had between John, because John was the only disciple that never faced the martyr's death. He died on the Isle of Patmos of old age, so I don't know. But I really like John. Amen? Do you know Jesus knows that we love Him? Jesus knows that we love Him. You know, we can fool our friends and we can fool our families, but you know what? We can't fool Jesus. He knows. He knows if we really love Him. He knows all things. Wow. Jesus knows all things. He knows if we love Him. He knows who we really are. Wow. You know? Jesus knows all things. This is a very, very important revelation. This is one of the greatest revelations we must come to in our life. That Jesus knows everything. He knows all things. There are many Christians, I'll go ahead and move on. It says, being loved by Jesus was John's bottom line. What would it mean to us if we arrived at the bottom line and saw our primary identity in life as the one who Jesus loves? Wow. Can you imagine? Let's let that sink in for a second. Can we imagine our life has all been summed up when they talk about Dave Saul? That is the one that Jesus loves. Wow. Of course, He loves us all. But man, just to be pointed out that is the one that Jesus loves. We would begin to love Jesus because He loves us first. Most Christians and some believers I know love Jesus for what they can take Him for what they can get out of Him. Wow. But that is the wrong reason. We are to love Jesus because He loved us first. Let this truth take our heart. Let it be a bottom line truth in our life. It is beyond measure how beneficial it is for our soul to take its fill of love with the Lord. Wow. It is not up to Jesus to love us. It's not up to Jesus to love us. But rather it is up to us to love Him first. Of course, Jesus loves us, without any doubt. But it is up to us. It is up to love Him also. His love is not without question. If we are questioning His love, then there is a bigger problem in our heart. We must settle this issue in our own heart and soul. Individually, that God really does love us, and He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins, restoring our soul back to fellowship with Him. Wow. Amen. The more we are sure and established in this truth in our heart that Jesus really loves us, the more faithful we will be and used of God. Let me say that again. The more that we are sure, the more this truth has been established in our life, the more this happens in our life, then the more faithful we will be, and then the more that God will use us. You see, we always look for God to do all of the work for us. Well, God is waiting for us to go in and chip in. And the more we come to this desire and this love for Him, the more it's established in us. And then, when it just becomes a part of our life, and then the more that we will be faithful and He will use us. The more we believe the gospel message, the more we will be restored in fellowship with Him. The more that we believe the gospel message, that He died, was buried, and He arose, the more we will be restored into fellowship, I would say, with Him and with people also who love Him. Most Christians really do not believe this, though. You know that? I've been a believer for going on 60 years, and I would say most Christians really do not believe that He loved us first. Most Christians, and the believers I know, as I said, they want to go ahead and they serve God so they can, get the blessings and do all of these things, but so they can, get what they can from Him, but that's not the reason. Most Christians really do not believe that. It is more convenient to act like you believe than to really believe. I'm going to get kind of a little deep here. Because once we really believe, then God will begin to deal in our hearts and start to conforming us into His Son's image. And this will be a painful process. Remember, the goal of Christianity, of being a Christian, is not to go to heaven. Wow. That's not the goal. The goal is not heaven. Actually, God wants us to be able to so walk in the Spirit that we can have heaven on earth. Because, you know, we are coming back to the earth, right? After we go to heaven, we're coming back to earth, right? But, you know, so God wants us to go ahead and, you know, He wants us to, you know, to walk in that. The goal of a Christian is to be conformed into the character and the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the goal. And He will do whatever it takes, whatever we will allow Him to do, to conform us into the character and the image of His dear Son. And I will tell you, my friend, that can be a painful process indeed, if we are serious. Most Christians and some believers are not willing to endure God's building program. Wow. Did you know, Harry, that God has a building program? God has a building program. And you know what He's building? He's building a house. And you know who the house is? We are the house. Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, he who builds the house labors in vain. David said, you have blessed me out of the storehouses of God. He wasn't talking about the treasuries and the money. David was talking about the people that have blessed his life. Wow. God has a building program, but God's building program is a lot different than most building programs, because God's building program begins by Him tearing down the foundation and whatever that person is built on. So if we are not built on the foundation of God, if we are not built on those things that are of God, then God will begin to build us by tearing down all of those things in us that are not of Him. And then He will start on a level playing field. And then He will begin to work into our life. Here begin to build us. Wow. And God's building program can be very painful at times, but it's a sure foundation. Amen? God is in the business of restoring souls. And the soul is precious to God. Now notice here in the next verse we're going to look at here, Psalms 49:8. I have here in the King James Version, and if you would have a Bible here, it may not be in your Bible, but Psalms 49:8 is in parentheses. And this is known as a parenthetical thought. And so this wasn't written per se, but when it, you know, at first it was a thought. It was the thought of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a parenthetical thought. So Psalm 49:8 says, for the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceases forever. Wow. And it ceases forever. So this is a thought of the Holy Spirit as Psalms 49:8 was written. It was a thought, and of course, then it became text. Wow. I like that. So the more we allow God's dealings and judgments, His building program in us, wow, in our lives, the more we will be restored back to Him. So if there is no building in us, if we do not allow God to work in our lives through His dealings and His judgments, if we do not allow God to kind of work on those rough areas and those things in us that are not of Him, then there will be no restoration of our soul. There just can't be. Here, just let us go on, do what we want to do. But if we willfully enter into God's building program, even as He ripped out those foundations and all of those things that were built on that are not of Him, then one by one He'll begin to lay those bricks into our life, and then we will have a sure and strong foundation in our life. Amen? Our love for God should cause our spirit to magnify Him. Let me say that again. Our love for God should cause our spirit to magnify Him. Now remember, He loved us first. He loved us first, and then because He loved us first, then we are to love Him back. So our love for God should cause our spirit to magnify Him. Our spirit and our soul grows on whatever it feeds on. Our spirit and our soul grows on whatever it feeds on. Thus, this truth grows in us as we magnify the Lord. So the more that we magnify the Lord, the more that we take into our body those things that are of the Lord, the more that our spirit and our soul will grow. The more we magnify Him, the more He grows in us. We become more conscious of Him in our lives. And the more we magnify Him, the more we will want to magnify Him. I don't know about you, but I'm married to the best woman in the world, and she's sitting right there. And we're going on 42 years of marriage, but the more that I'm around her, day by day, and the more she does things for me, and the more I do things for her, and the more experiences, and the more things we go through, the more I love her, the more. And that's the same way it's supposed to be with our relationship with the Lord. The more that we are around the Lord, the more we talk to Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more experiences and the more things we go through with Him, that will give us a greater love for Him the more. As a child grows on what they eat, so does our spirit. Wow. As a child grows on what they eat, so does our spirit. If we eat of the world, then our spirit and our soul will look and act like the world. If we eat of the world, if we eat of those things that the world... Now, I'm not talking about the earth now, but I'm talking about those things that are in the world that are not of God, that have nothing to do with God. If we eat, if we take those into us, if we take those into our spirit, into our soul, then we will look like the world. Amen? But if we eat of the things of God, then our spirit and our soul will look and act like the Son of God. We will, if we take in those things, then we will look, we will be, we will be in that conforming process. So many Christians that I know will go ahead and they are more concerned about what is going on in the world than they are about their own spiritual life. I've seen that time and time and time again. Man, they can tell you what's going on here and this issue and that issue and this ball club and this and that and stuff. Remember, out of our mouth speaks our heart. So if I want to find out what's in your heart, all I have to do is let you talk and you will tell me everything I need to know about you. Because out of your mouth speaks your heart. That's why it's a wonderful place in God, Amber, when you have nothing to say. Wow. It's a holy place. It's a holy place in God when God can bring you to a place to where you can just lose your mouth. I was talking on the radio and I was talking about a 31-hour train ride that I took from Stuttgart, Germany to Constanța, Romania, one way, 31 hours. And I said five words in 31 hours. And my senses were alive because this was in 1997, and it was dangerous to be on a train by yourself in Romania. Going from Germany to Romania, there was a lot of, kidnapping, murder, stuff like that, but my senses were so alive, and the communion that I had with the Lord was just tremendous. Amen? Yeah. Wow. As the spirit and the soul grows on what it feeds the Lord, this produces the condition of the soul. Let me say that again. As the spirit and soul grows on what it feeds on the Lord, this produces the condition of the soul. There are many conditions of the soul mentioned in the Bible, so I listed about 11 here. The grieving soul, So knowing the outcome of a grieving soul, do you think that there was the work of God in that grieving soul? I would think no, because in a grieving soul, You know, if God is able to work in our life, then we will not have we will not have that grieving soul. And of course, you can turn to Judges 10:16, you can see that. Or the vexed soul, Judges 16, probably, and no work of God there. The bitter soul, well, there's no work of God in the bitter soul. Wow, you're bitter and you're angry, and you know, so there is no work of God there. The redeemed soul, yes, yes, there has to be God's work. And, you know, there has to be, you know, God's work in the redeemed soul. The weary soul. I'm tired. I can't make it. I walk up to some Christians and, how you doing today? Well, I'm all right. I'm going to make it. I remember when I pastored in Germany, there were some people in the church I could stay away from. Because they were so negative. They were so, how you doing today? After a while, I would just kind of stay away from them. They finally got the idea, how about the mourning soul? The mourning soul, wow. Probably not much work of God was there. The desiring soul, yeah, wow. Now, unless it's desiring for things of the world, there'd be no work of God. But I would think here in Job 23:13, there was a desire for God here. And there was a work of God. The restored soul, yes, wow. Psalm 23:3, yeah. Very famous passage, Psalm 23:3. There was a great work being done in there. The thirsting soul, yeah, wow. I would think unless you are thirsting for the world or whatever, John 2:15 says, love not this world, nor the things in it. Again, most Christians and some believers I know, they love the things that are in the world. Well, I will tell you, if that's where your love is, then you're not going to get very, very far in God. Amen. The cast down soul. Psalms 42:5. Wow. Probably not much work being done here. The conditions of our soul depend upon the work we have allowed God to do in our lives. Let me say that again. The condition of our soul depends on the work we have allowed God to do in our life. So if we have not allowed God to build us, we have not allowed God to work in our life in any form or fashion, then we will have a vexed soul, or a bitter soul, or a weary soul, a wounded soul, have all of these. But if we have allowed God to work in our life, then we won't be like that. Amen? Yeah. We are body and soul. We are body and we're a triunion. As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, man also is body and soul. The body, which will fall into the ground and die and decay, but what goes to heaven is the soul and the spirit. But you know what? God is not trying to save the soul. He is trying to save the spirit. Because the soul, and that's where our feelings are, and our emotions, and our intelligence, and our thoughts, and all of those fleshly things. So God is not trying to save that. Actually, He's trying to kill that. The more that our flesh is alive, the more our emotions is alive, the more all of these dreams and plans that we have in us that are not of God, the more those are alive in the plans and purposes that God has for our life will not happen. God is trying to save our spirit because if God can get to our spirit, then our soul will go down. If our spirit goes up, our soul will go down. But if we don't spend time with the Lord and feed our spirit, then our spirit man will get weak. And the soulish man will get stronger and stronger and stronger to a point that some people just walk out of God. Our spirit is where the Holy Spirit touches our lives. Boy, I like that. Our spirit is where the Holy Spirit where He touches our lives. Remember, our soul is not saved, but our soul controls our day-to-day living. our soul controls our day-to-day living. So if we don't spend time in prayer with the Lord, if we don't spend time waiting before the Lord, if we don't spend time, you know, what Dustin's going in the Bible right here, if we do not spend time reading the Bible, then our soul rises up and our spirit and our soul will you know, just run our day. If we allow God so to work in our life. Amen? Some parting thoughts. Whatever is magnified in our soul, that's what we shall speak of. Sports, work, making money, pastors, people who frustrate us, fear, condemnation, whatever is magnified in our soul, that's what we will be of, and that's what we will speak of. Because again, I said that first, out of our mouth will speak our heart. If our life is hidden in Christ, then our soul will be shut. Wow. If our life is hidden in Christ, then our soul will be shut, and it will be sealed, and it will be down there in a low place. Amen. Solomon said in Song of Solomon 4:9, said, "Thou hast ravished my heart." Wow, what a thought. That's almost like, I love him because he loves me. Wow. "Thou hast ravished my heart." That means we have unhearted him. We have stolen his heart. Now, when I first met my wife in 1979, she stole my heart. Wow. And I believe I stole her heart. Wow. Stolen his heart. Have we stolen the Lord's heart? Have we allowed him to ravish our heart? Better question, have we ravished his heart? He's madly in love with us. The question is, are we madly in love with him? Have you ever been madly in love? Well, I can honestly say, one time in my life, I was madly in love. With my wife, but all of my life, ever since I've been about 6 years old, at different levels of development, I have been in love with Jesus. And that's all I wanted.
Amen.
The older I got, and the more I understood, and the more I could see things, that's all that I wanted in my life. All I wanted was him. I didn't want to go to heaven. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do that. All I wanted was him. And if we have him, then we don't have to worry about going to heaven. If we have him, then we will have everything. Everything that we need. Amen? As I have thought of how he loved me first, I began to give him first place in my thoughts. What do you think about? What are your thoughts? If your thoughts are not on him, if your thoughts are, you know, of the world, if your thoughts are bizarre and all this good stuff, then that's going to be of the world. Now, there's three areas here that we need to focus on. And the first is to give him first place in our thoughts. I gave him the highest throne in my heart. In my heart. Then I offered him the royal place in my soul. So it's our thoughts and our heart. If he is first place in our thoughts and in our heart, then he will be in our soul. He will be number one in our soul. These are the three areas God must have total dominion in us. Must have total dominion in us, or he will have no dominion in us. And it all starts because he first loved us. Well, because he first loved us. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Oh God, Let us unheart you. Let us ravish you, Father, with God. We love you and we thank you for all of the things that you've done for us. Lord, thank you for loving us first, Father. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross for us, Father, with God, so that we can have that fellowship and be restored back to you. We just love you and we thank you, Father. Thank you for this word, Father, Lord. Let this word set at our hearts, Father, Lord God. Let it waylay us, Father, Lord God. Let us bring us to a greater understanding of who you are, Father, and how much you want to conform us to the character and the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.